We're continuing the shiur on the topic of simcha. This is, I believe, is actually shiur, the 19th shiur on this topic. In the previous shiur, we started speaking about the chapter on the Likutei Moharan that we're going to discuss now. Now we'll try to broaden it a little bit and clarify it. This chapter on the Likutei Moharan, and especially the opening statement, is definitely one of the most important statements that Rabbi Nachman made in his life. Now, to say something like that is pretty serious, but you'll hear the statement and how it's mentioned in the different Sforim. This is literally one of the most important statements. Rabbi Nachman begins this chapter 10 in the second half of Likutei Moharan with the words, Mashaha'olam rechoikim me'Hashem Yisborach, the fact that the world, and when he's talking about the world, he means the Jewish world, the majority of Jewish people even, are far from Hashem, ve'enom miskarvim elav Yisborach, and do not come close to Hashem, churak machmas she'en lohem yishuv hadas, is only because of one reason, they don't have Yishuv Hadas. Ve'enom meyashvim atzvom. They don't really get a chance to think. The expression that's used by us Anglos, that people in this world are on a treadmill. Everybody's running. Everybody's running from one thing, get up and run, and have to run to work, have to run to eat, have to run to daven, have to run to work, run, see Jane run. And don't get a chance. Most people don't know that there's a stop button. There's an emergency brake that you're allowed to pull on at least once a day to say, stop, I'm not running. I have to think. I have to analyze. Where am I? Where am I going? What am I doing? What am I running for? What's my purpose in life? What's my purpose in this world? And even if I think that yesterday or a week ago, a month ago, I knew it, I have to remind myself, there's enough distractions. All of us, any person who thinks about this, would realize that there's enough distractions. And our lives are so convoluted and so confused and so mixed up and so busy and heavy in so many different ways that it's so easy and natural for a person to forget what we're really here for, to forget the main purpose, the main reason that I'm here for, and to get caught up in all kinds of other things. And then at some point in time, some people realize this on their deathbed. Some people realize this right after they retire. Some people, you know, at different stages in their life, hey, what did I do? Why was I doing it? Why did I? So Rabbeinu Zal makes this incredible, powerful statement that the fact that the majority of people are far from Hashem and don't come close is only, he puts in this word rock, is only because of this reason. Meaning, if this thing were corrected, if a person had real Yishuv Hadas, they would definitely realize what their mission in life is, what their true mission in life is, and they would come close to Hashem. And he says, V'ho Iker, the most important thing is, Lehishtadel, to put in the effort that's necessary, Leyashev Atzmoy Heitev, to really think things over well, to really think through clearly, Ma Hatachlis Mikol HaTaivois U'Mikol Inyonei Olam Hazeh. What's the purpose of all the desires, all the materialistic desires of this food, of this world, food, fashion, women, all the physical desires, the physical desires and the materialistic desires of Olam Hazeh, of this world, where is it all leading to? Where is it going to get me in terms of my final goals? Hein tataivois hanechnoses leguf. Whether we're talking about those desires, those materialistic things, which a person actually brings into the body, like food and drink and things like that, clothing even, which, again, it's mamish physically on the body, hein taivois shechutz leguf. And in addition, those desires which are external to the body, kegoin kovoid, for example, recognition. How many people in this world are there that think that the goal, the objective is recognition? respect, to be respected by, the question is, by whom? I once had an incredible incident with my Rebbe Zichron Avrocha, Rabbi Rosenfeld Zichron Avrocha, where we were living in America at the time, and he was returning from a trip to Israel. And I had the privilege at the time of going to the airport to pick him up with friends. I borrowed a car, whole story. It was a little complicated to get to do it, but Baruch Hashem, Hashem helped, I did it. And we got him, and we were driving back from the airport to his house, and he was talking, and he mentioned he was just in Israel, and he met with some of the leading rabbis of Breslov there at the time. And he made a statement to me at the time, which was very encouraging. Like, he said to me that I want you to know that you have a Shem Tov, you have a good name by them. And at the time, I think I remember he made a joke. He said, you know, there are certain people who, when you go into a bar, you go into the bar in the corner and you say, Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy, he's such a great guy. Wow, everybody knows Jimmy. Everybody likes Jimmy. Of course, who doesn't know Jimmy? You know? So the fact that Jimmy is known in the bar, the guys in the bar know him and they like him and everybody smiles when they hear his name. That's recognition. That means he's made it. He's made it in life. When we talk about a person having a good name means having a good name where it counts, where it's really important. If there are genuine, honest, good, really good quality people and caliber people, and a person has a good name by them, that might mean something. That could mean something. But the kind of recognition, we see it, we read about it every day. Today, it's incredible how things are speeding up now. Once upon a time, it was once a month, once a week, that you read about a major politician who was on trial. Today, it's once an hour. It's not once a month. It's every hour there's a new guy. It's from the prime minister there in Israel, every level. It's the prime minister and the mayor and the senator, every single day. They're all either in jail, on their way to jail, on trial. And these are people who obviously, one of the important goals in their life was kavod, recognition. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos warns very seriously, watch out, avoid government, avoid leadership positions. Horabonos mikaberes es baleho, leadership kills people, it destroys people, kills people. And you see people who are looking for positive recognition, and in most cases, it would seem, if you do the statistics, we're not talking about 1% or 5%, we're talking about at least 51%. And it's growing by the day. Pretty soon it's going to get to 99% or 100% of these people. People who are looking for recognition. People who, for them, this is an important thing, to be known in their own country, to be known in among their own circle, nationally, internationally. Today, with the media and communication, in a second, the entire world can know. A few billion people can know if such a person makes a mistake, if such a person is caught with a crime. So to see the kind, here we're talking about kavod, that this is one of the goals, this is one of the things that drives people to work hard in elementary school, in high school, and then in university, and then in graduate school, and from level to level, struggle and fight and to get to that point where I made it. I have this sign on my door that says I'm in this leadership position, and then a month later, a year later, 4 years later, he's on trial. The whole world knows, the entire world knows that he's on trial, suspected or indicted for this crime, a whole list of crimes, Rahmana Litzlan. So is that the goal? Is that success? That's how we define success? That's what I'm gonna drive myself and put all my effort into, to achieving that? And Rabbeinu Zal says, Vazai, when a person will realize that, when a person will have this Yishuv Adas, they'll allow themselves the luxury to think honestly about what's going on in their lives and what the purpose of life is in this world and what my goals are and what are not my goals. When a person will do that, Bevadai Yoshuv El Hashem. Even if that person has strayed, even if that person is far from Hashem, the person will definitely, every word here is critical, the person will definitely return to Hashem. The person will definitely realize their mistakes and they'll have the motivation and the inspiration and the privilege of correcting whatever they have to correct in their lives and return to Hashem. This is an incredible, incredible statement if a person thinks about it, that Rabbeinu Zal is making it so clear what the mistake is, how people fall into that mistake because they don't afford themselves this luxury of Yishuv Hadas. And once a person, if a person will fight to have that Yishuv Hadas, to make sure they allow themselves that time on a regular basis to have this Yishuv Hadas, the person will definitely realize the truth and realize the right goals in life, and they'll achieve them. They'll achieve the most important success, which is coming close to Hashem. Are there any prerequisites to this? The answer is yes. One. There's one prerequisite. Rabbeinu Zal says that you should know that when a person is depressed, unhappy, then they don't have the proper control of their thoughts and their mind, and then it's very difficult to have this Yishuv Hadas. To be able to do this kind of thinking, this kind of deep thinking about what my purpose in life is and what... To be able to do that, you can't be depressed. You can't be down. It's only when a person is happy, genuinely happy, then the mind, because when a person is depressed, the mind is in a state of imprisonment. It's shackled. It's called moichen de katnus. The brain shrinks and the person doesn't have what's called moichen de gadlus, expanded consciousness, to be able to think big. When a person is depressed and down and sad, they're thinking very small about where am I going to get my next dollar, where, or all the different things that bring a person down, chas v'shalom. But if a person can break out of that, if a person can release themselves from the depression, sadness, unhappiness, then they can have this Yishuv Hadas. Because happiness is synonymous with freedom. We said that depression is imprisonment. When a person is sad, they're in a state of imprisonment. Happiness is freedom. There's a pasuk, ki besimcha seitzeyun. With happiness, you exit. You go out. Out of what? Out of exile. Out of prison. And when a person is zoicha to plug in that happiness to their brain, then the brain becomes free. It's no longer in exile. The brain can think, can realize what it's supposed to be thinking about. It can free itself from all the things that are pulling it down, all the weights, those cement shoes that are pulling it down. The person can throw that away. And the brain can look beyond that, can look into the real future. Because in most cases, this Rabbeinu Zal mentions in another chapter in Likutei Moran that we mentioned earlier. There's a short chapter in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal says that one of the things that makes life difficult for most people is tomorrow. If I only had to think about today, if I knew I only had to cover my family's bills for today, I had to make sure that my kids have clothes on them today, that I have enough, I have food in the refrigerator for today, I have what, if I only had to think about that, most people are okay. Most people are relatively beseder with that. It's only because the Yetzirah doesn't allow a person to stop there. The Yetzirah says, well, today, nonsense, a joke. What about tomorrow? What about in a week? You have to pay this bill. At month end, you're going to have these bills and those bills, and the summer is coming. What about kit? That's what drives people and puts incredible pressure and, again, diverts the person's attention from their real most important goals in life, which are closeness to Hashem, serving Hashem. So if a person is able to focus on today, on now, that eliminates the majority of the problem. That takes away most of the problem. So Rabbeinu Zal says, though, when a person is sad, depressed, you don't have control on your brain. Your brain is automatically in a bad place. If you want to be able to release it from that bad place and be able to direct it in the right direction, you need simcha. Rabbi Nassal brings proof to this from a story in the Gemara. The Gemara says that in the story with Ahasuerus and Vashti, when she refused to appear before him and his officers the way he wanted her to appear, so he right away turned to his Jewish advisors and said, "What should I do? What should I do with her?" And they had a difficult question. Should they tell him to kill her? The way he's really, it looks like that's the direction he's moving in. This idiot, this Tipesh Ahasuerus, the minute he gets sober, tomorrow he's going to wake up and find himself without a wife, and he's going to be thirsting for a wife. He's going to get mad at us, and he'll kill us too. So we don't know if we can tell him to kill her. If we don't tell him to kill her right now, and he's really looking for blood, he could kill us for not standing up for his authority, for his kingdom. So they were in a big quandary. What did they do? Jewish thinkers, they came up with the right answer. They said, "Sorry, we'd love to advise you, but because we, the Jewish people, have been in exile now for so many years, we're in Golos. When a person is in exile, they can't think clearly. They can't give advice. They can't. Why don't you speak to the non-Moyov and those people who have not been in exile? They've been in their country all the time. They haven't experienced exile. They'll be able to come up with to give you clear advice." And the Gemara quotes this. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Beis quotes this about the fact the people of Amoin and Moyov, because they did not experience exile, therefore they have Yishuv Adas. So Rabbi Nazar says, we see from this Gemara that in order to have Yishuv Adas, you have to be out of exile. Getting out of exile, how do you do it? Ki besimcha teitzeyu. When you're happy, you're not in exile, you can think clearly, you can come to the right understanding. Okay, relatively easy. One, we said that the goal is Yishuv Adas. The prerequisite is simcha, not 100 things. One prerequisite. Now, how do I get to simcha? How does a person get to be happy? Rabbi Nazal here, again, gives the advice that he mentioned earlier in chapter 282 in the first half of Likutei Moran, where he says that one of the easiest and best ways that include everybody, that every single Jew can achieve simcha, is by looking for a good point, finding something good in ourselves, being able to find, even if I have 100 bad things to say about myself, I'm doing 100 terrible things, if I focus on that, it's going to bring me down. It's going to get me down, depressed, golus. If I can focus on my good points, on my accomplishments, my achievements, the good things about myself, or the good things in my situation. Many people will say that if I look at my situation is terrible. The predicament that I'm in is horrible. I don't have this, I don't have all kinds of different things. But Rabbi Nazal tells us again in another short, small chapter on Likutei Moran that there's a concept of batzor hirchavtoli, that every single person, if they look at their situation and they can make a list of 100 things that are bad about it, they can identify something that's not bad, something that's good in their situation, something that could be worse. Could be worse. There are people who have it worse than me. And by being able to realize that batzor hirchavtoli, that's a rope that a person can grab onto and hold onto and use it to extricate themselves from sadness, unhappiness. If they hold on to that, that can pull them into a better place and give them the energy and the strength that they need to have a yishuv adas, to get to clarity, to really understand what their goals and everything, and to achieve those goals, to be able to accomplish those goals. And Rabbi Nazal says, if a person thinks that this doesn't apply to me because my list is so long of so many bad things that I've done, so many terrible things, Rabbi Nazal says, al kol ponim, yesh loy lismoyach b'ma shezocha liyos mizera Yisrael. You're Jewish? You're Jewish? That alone is a raft. That alone can save you. That alone is something to grab onto. Shelo yosani goy. If I've done every chas v'shalom, I've committed every sin, I've done everything wrong, all the averis, no mitzvahs, but I'm Jewish, there's hope. There's hope. There's a tikkun. Eventually, there'll be a tikkun. Eventually, everything can be corrected. Everything can be turned around. Just like we say in Uvolatzion every day, Baruch Elokeinu Shebrono Lechvodo, I bless Hashem, I praise Hashem, who created us for His honor, V'hivdilono min atoyim, and He separated us from all those who are wandering aimlessly, who don't have this, who are not privileged to have a religion, who are not privileged to be part of the Jewish religion, who don't have a Torah, who don't have what we have. Even if I'm doing so many things wrong, even if I'm making so many mistakes, this alone, Rabbi Nazal says, if you'll listen, if you'll realize that the one who's giving this advice is a true Talmud Chacham. He knows the Shulchan Aruch, he knows everything. And he's saying that this is enough of an excuse, this is enough of a justification to be happy. It's not only the person who learned 12 pages of Gemara today and gave $1 million to tzedakah today and did all, not only he deserves to be happy, has the right to be happy, has an excuse to be happy, a Jew who recognizes that Baruch Hashem, I was born to a Jewish mother, or I am Jewish. Shelo yasani goy. That, if you want, that can save you. That can pull you out of, that can give you a justification to start to being happy, and that happiness will open a door to Yishuv Adas, and the Yishuv Adas will open a door to coming close to Hashem, to really coming close to Hashem. And Rabbi Nazal says, we know that when a person is happy, this is something very, very high. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Zayin, mentions that one of the rabbis met his friend, Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Huda, met up with each other at the entrance to the home of one of their fathers-in-law. And one of the rabbis saw that the other one was in a happy frame of mind. He was in a good mood. So he said, in this frame of mind, I know I can ask him any question. I can throw any question at him. He's going to be able to answer. Because when, again, like we said before, when a person is not happy, moichen de katnus, constrict, can't think clearly. When a person is happy, his mind is open, he can think, he can come up with the answers that he needs to give someone else, and he can even come up with the answers that he needs to help himself. This is pretty much what Rabbi Nazal presents in this chapter on Likutei Moran. And once again, we're privileged that Rabbi Nosson Zal, Rabbi Nachman's main student, wrote a tefillah, a prayer, for every single one of these shiurim in Likutei Moran. Rabbi Nosson Zal actually wrote a tefillah where a person can put this into a tefillah, asking Hashem to be able to fulfill everything that we just described in this Torah. If I wish to be zeicha to use it and to achieve the goal that's mentioned here. The next chapter on this topic of simcha is chapter 17 in Likutei Moran, which deals especially with Shabbos, the mitzvah of Shabbos. Here, Rabbi Nazal begins, Tzorech li zoher ma'oid lihiyois someach v'toiv leiv b'Shabbos. As much as it's a mitzvah to be happy all the time, The Jewish world has picked up Rabbi Nazal's famous statement, Mitzvah Gedola Lios Besimcha Tomid. It's a very important item to be happy all the time, Tomid, constantly, 24/7. However, on Shabbos especially, more so than during the other 6 days of the week, a person has to be extremely careful, Lizoher Ma'oid, to be very particular, very careful to be happy. Sameach and toiv leiv, that the happiness should be internal, inside and outside. Because the specialness of Shabbos is incredible, Rabbi Nazal says. And Rabbi Nazal recommends, he gives recommended reading for those who want to take his advice. the famous Sefer Reishis Chochma, which was written by the student of the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero Zal. This is one of the very famous Musar Sforim. It's called Reishis Chochma. And this Sefer, a lot of it, is speaking very about being very strict regarding religion and coming close to Hashem. But Rabbeinu Zal says that in the section Shar HaKedusha of the Reishis Chochma, in the beginning, he really expounds on the specialness of Shabbos. And he explains that he gives one after another explanations for a person to really get a realization and an awareness of how big Shabbos really is, how great it is. Rabbeinu Zal advises that every religious Jew that can should try to learn this and to analyze carefully everything that's written there, because he says that there are certain important details that he points out about the greatness of Shabbos that a person will benefit from tremendously if they're privileged to learn it. Rabbeinu Zal says that if a person will do this, if a person will be happy the way we're supposed to be on Shabbos, then they'll be zeicher to the right yira. Yira means respect, and yira means fear. And he points out that there are two kinds of yira. There's a fear that's associated with foolishness. There's a pasuk in Iyov where it says, Haloi yiroscha ksilosecha. Your fears and phobias are your foolishness. There's a yira that's foolish, it's silly, it's harmful. And there's a yira with das. When a person has yira, fear and respect, that's associated, that's attached to intelligence, proper intelligence, that yira is very constructive. We've mentioned this in the past, but to clarify, we know there's a concept of dying of fright. Hashem, a person, there is such a possibility of a person suddenly frightened by something and they could actually pass away from it. Or certainly, many intelligent people, both religious and even lahavdil in the secular world, recognize, and there's so much written about this, that the fears and phobias that people live with, it certainly shortens a person's life, chas v'shalom. It detracts from a person's life. Whereas, there is a concept of yira digdusha. When a person directs this fear, this attribute of fear and respect in the right direction, their fears are directed towards Hashem, towards Talmidei Chachamim, towards Torah, towards Mekoymoi Sagdoshim, towards those things. That kind of fear and respect, not only doesn't it shorten a person's life, but on the contrary, it adds to a person's life. It gives that person the ability to accomplish in one day what takes other people a month or a year or certain times a lifetime to accomplish. There's a pasuk, Yiras Hashem, Toisif Yomim, that Yira for Hashem adds days to a person's life. It broadens a person's day. When a person has the proper Yiras Shamayim, Yira for Hashem, that Yira gives that person the ability to grow. That will motivate and inspire the person to grow, to make today better than yesterday. One of Rabbi Nachman's students once, who was known for his tremendous Yira Shemayim and this mid of Yira, he said, if I will say my Shema, my Kriya Shema today, like I did yesterday, I'm ready to have my head put on the guillotine, to have my head cut off. That was the realization. His Yira Shemayim was such that it made it so natural and so clear to him that every day has to be bigger and better than the previous day, that the person has to be constantly growing. If yesterday I was able to do 2 pages of Gemara in a day, then today I have to be able to do 3 pages to grow, to constantly be in this state of growth. This is this Yira of Kedusha that comes from Simcha. As we mentioned before, Simcha means a state of expanded consciousness where a person can think clearly. We said that what's going to define whether the yira is a healthy yira, a positive yira, or a yira that decreases a person's life is the intelligence, the ability to think clearly and properly. The wrong kind of yira, we said, is ksilus. Yirascha ksilasecha. The right kind of yira is intelligence. When a person is sameach, when a person is happy, they're thinking properly. Their thinking is clear, and they can see things in the proper light. And therefore, Rabbi Nizal advises that a Jew should do everything they can to conduct ourselves with tremendous joy and happiness on Shabbos, and not to show any sadness or worry, to cast aside, to push away all worries, heaviness, depression, sadness, to get rid of it totally, and to have as much pleasure on Shabbos, or any the variety of pleasures that people enjoy, whether it be food and drink, to make sure to have better, more enjoyable food and drink on Shabbos than the person has during the week. So too in clothing, we're saying even in gashmius, even in those things that during the week are considered gashmius, materialistic, food, drink, clothing, when it comes to Shabbos, a person should do what they can within their limitations, within their bank book, to make sure to have the best food and drink, the best clothing, and other enjoyments for Shabbos. And here Rabbi Nizal says, because the eating that a person does on Shabbos is kulay ruchnius, kulay kodesh. It's all spiritual. When a person eats during the weekdays, we know that it's a major battle where the forces of good and the forces of evil, the sitrachra, the klipos, the tumah, try to take that food and use it against the person, to harm the person both physically and spiritually, by overeating, eating the wrong things, all kinds, not making brachas properly on food, by making all kinds of mistakes. Beruchnius and begashmius in eating, during the week, it's very possible for the food that a person eats to go to the wrong places, to be feeding the other side, chas v'shalom. Whereas achilas Shabbos, Rabbi Nizal says, is kulay kodesh, kulay ruchnius, and it goes to a different place completely. It feeds, it nourishes a different place than the food that one eats during the week. This is obviously tremendous advice, and if a person is zoicha to do this properly, then this again could be a rope that a person can look forward to. We know that in our tefillah, from Sunday, from Yom Rishon, we say Hayom Yom Rishon Bashabbos, Yom Yom Sheni Bashabbos. We're reminding ourselves that we have something to look forward to. That even for those of us who find it very difficult during the week to be able to fight that battle, Sheishes Yomim Tavoid, we're within Avdus, there's all the... But Shabbos is coming. There's a Shabbos down the way, and then for sure, then I know I have to turn off the worries. I have to stop thinking about certain things. I don't have the option of it, and I'm certainly going to enjoy it. Then it's what to look forward to, and it's something that can hold a person, you know, as they're moving towards Shabbos, and after Shabbos, to be able to have that Tois for Shabbos, to be able to draw Shabbos into the week, for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, to still be able to have that lingering taste of how much I enjoyed the previous Shabbos. And for this to be able to give the person some of what they need to be able to fight this difficult battle of being zoicha to be in simcha. We should be zoicha by following this advice to the kibesimcha seitzeyon, to exit from all of our personal problems and personal exiles, and especially the golus that Klal Yisrael is still experiencing in Chutz Loretz and even in Eretz Yisrael, with the coming of Moshiach, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Memher V'Yameinu, Amen V'Yameinu.